All right, amen. Well, it's been good. I will tell you that. It has been good, amen. And I just hope I can follow that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we won't try to be too long here. We'll just share something the Lord's put on our heart. And just good to be here.
Amen.
Good to be here. And first time preaching here, so that's a blessing. Appreciate that, Brother Shepherd, and the church. And I was telling him about he asked me about, being as I pastored Murray, about the signal and all that with the radio. And I was coming, Brother Beverly, I was coming back last night, and it was clear as a bell all the way through LBL.
Amen.
And if you know anything about LBL, you get over there and you ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
Cell service is gone. Everything's gone. You know, you're flipping through the radio trying to find something. But but it did. It come in as clear as I'd ever heard it.
Amen.
So praise the Lord.
Amen.
I can't wait for the one in Cadiz.
Yeah.
Amen. Because, there's places in Cadiz you can actually pick it up.
Sure.
But there's a lot of dead spots and a lot of places where it's in and out. So looking forward to that. There's another station that at least they play good gospel music out of Hardin, 90.5, and they play the Southern gospel music, and we listen to that. But I'll be glad to have that up where you can really listen to SOF.
Amen.
Because they have good preaching and good singing.
Amen.
And just a good station.
Amen.
All right, we praise the Lord for that. And good to be here today. All right, Psalm 139. We're going to take just a few minutes here, some thoughts here. Psalms 139. This is kind of our launching point. We're going to read the last two verses of this psalm. Verse 23 and 24, where we'll take our reading. And been thinking about this. You know, of course, this is the new year.
Yeah.
And was in a watch night service Friday night. And heard three good messages, and one of them was that we need to always look back on the year that we've just had, reflect on that, and kind of see our mistakes and where we fell short, and do our best to correct them in the new year.
Right.
But they also said, looking back on the previous year, but we've got to be able to forget those things that's behind also.
Right.
If we have confessed those things and got it right with the Lord, then we need to forget those things. It's, you know, forgiveness and forgetting are two different things.
Right.
They really are. And sometimes we have a hard time forgetting.
Right.
And but I'm glad that when God forgives us,
right,
He forgets.
Amen.
The Bible said it's cast into the sea of His forgetfulness.
Yes,
never more to be remembered. So we praise the Lord. But yeah, we do want to look back, and we want to look. But as we begin this new year, I thought about this, and there's a hymn that we sing that's in our hymn book. And I didn't know it until just the last few years. And it's titled Nothing Between My Soul and My Savior.
Yeah.
You've ever heard that hymn, Nothing Between. And I don't know, over the past week or so, the Lord's just kind of brought that home to me. Nothing between. That's all I could think about. Nothing between. So we're going to read this here in verse 23. And the psalmist writes here and says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here today. Thankful for what our ears have heard already. Tremendous preaching. And, and Lord, thankful for the testimony of this young man and all that, Lord, you're doing with him and through him. And thank you for Brother Gene. Lord, we've had a long time friendship. Grew up together, went to school together, church together. And Lord, I'm just thankful for that. Good to see others here. Some I haven't seen in a long time. And just good to see them and have some fellowship. Lord, I just pray you'd bless your word as it's read, and help us now for just a few minutes to be able to get out what you've put in us. Help us to get it out where it'll be a blessing and a help to your people. Have your will and way. May you be glorified, Lord, we pray, in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The psalmist writes here, search me and know me. Now we understand this. This wasn't for the Lord's benefit. The Lord already knew everything that was in his heart. The Lord already knew his thoughts. The Bible reminds us that the Lord knows even the thoughts and the intents of our heart. You ever thought about that? It said he knows the intents. It knows things that we might intend to do before we ever do them. He knows the intents. I mean, that's getting personal right there. And so he knows the thoughts and he knows our hearts. And he knows what's there. It's for our benefit. It's so that we might know our hearts. And we might know our thoughts. And we might know if there's anything there that stands between us and our Savior. And it's needed. I think this is a good way to start the new year out. By saying as the psalmist, search me, O God, and know me. And know my heart and try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way. I think that is a prayer. And I'm afraid that often we kind of hold back. We kind of hesitate on that kind of prayer. Because that's asking a lot. Lord, search me. Try me. And if we truly mean that and we do that, that means the Lord's going to open up everything that's there. Nothing. And the truth is, nothing can remain hidden with him. If you go back and read this whole psalm, you'll understand that David writes and says, verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. He said, even if I try to find my way into the darkness, he said, you still find me. Because light comprehends the darkness. You are light. And I thought about this. Went to Mammoth Cave years ago as a boy. We got up there and you had an option. You could take a 2-hour tour or you could take a 4-hour tour. So it's me and my sister, my mom, dad. My dad got the bright idea, let's take the 4-hour tour. Let's just experience it all. And about halfway through it, he was regretting that. But anyway, that said, when you get, if I remember right, when you get towards the end of it, they bring you into this big open area and they've got these benches there. I think maybe made out of stone or rocks or something. But anyway, you sit down and they turn all the lights out. All the lights out. And you've heard the expression, it's so dark you could hear a pin drop. And he told everybody, let's everybody just be silent. They turn all the lights out. You can't see your hand. You can go like this, couldn't see your hand. And I found out that statement's true. They took a needle, a pin, and they dropped it. And you heard it when it hit. But you know what? The Lord could see every one of us there.
Right.
Amen. We couldn't see our hands in front of our face. And so that's what the psalmist says. Even if I try to hide in the darkness, no matter where I go or where I'm at, you know me and you know where I'm at. And you know what's in my heart.
Right.
So, but really, let's ask this. What stands between us and the Savior? Is there anything today that would stand between you? I thought about some things that can stand. The most prominent thing that probably stands against us and the Savior in every heart, and that's sin.
Right.
And I know when I say sin, that covers a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot when we talk about sin. But I thought about Isaiah 59:2. And it tells us there, I'll turn there real quick and read that Psalm 50, or Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Familiar verses. Isaiah writes, you know, the Lord's hand is not shortened in verse 1 that it cannot save, or his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Yes.
Now, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
Amen.
So, we got to understand, who's he writing to here? He's writing to God's people. He said, your iniquity is between you and your God.
Right.
And that's capital G there, by the way.
Amen.
So he's writing to the Lord's people. And he says, your iniquity, so sin, the most prominent thing in our heart that will bring separation between us and the Lord is sin.
Yes,
sin is dangerous.
Yes.
We're living in a day where sin is praised.
Oh,
Sin is promoted. Sin is made becoming the norm. But sin is dangerous. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. It was told that, I think it was Johnny Carson was asked about whether he was going to heaven or hell. And he said, well, I'm going to hell. And he said, well, why do you want to do that? He said, because all my friends are down there. Oh, no. That's what he said. All my friends are down there. Oh, some have the idea hell's a good place. I'll just go down there and party. No, you won't.
No,
Bible said there's wailing, gnashing of teeth.
Right.
Bible said it is a place of eternal separation.
Right.
It's a place of torment.
Yes.
Amen.
And we're not talking about just temporary.
No.
We're talking about eternity.
Right.
Forever and ever. So sin, and especially in the life of a Christian, is a disastrous thing. It hinders and it hurts.
Yes.
I thought about this, what sin can do in the life of a believer. It can hinder, it can hurt our walk and our witness. Can it not?
Yes.
I was talking to Brother David yesterday at church, Brother Cunningham. And he made mention of this and he said, one thing that I've always been concerned about in my life and is that I might be a godly influence to others. And he got to telling me about some that was a godly influence in his life. And he said, I thank the Lord for those that have gone before me that were a godly influence unto me. And he said, I'm conscious, I think. And he told me this. He said, I can look back now and I reflect. He's got numerous health problems. He's losing his sight. He can't hardly see. And he's diabetic and things. He can't pastor anymore. But man, he's a blessing.
Amen.
He's a blessing.
Amen.
He came here when his boy came and joined with us, and man, what a blessing. But he said, I look back on my life and I think about all the missed opportunities I had.
Right.
When the Lord prompted me to go visit this person or go witness to this person, and I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I think, and you know what he's doing now? He can't hardly see. He has a pair of glasses that are about this big and thick. And they've got lights on them right here on each side. And so whenever I start to read or we start to sing, he'll put them things on, turn them lights on. He has to have them. He can't see. But yet, every time he comes to church, he says, Preacher, I went to the hospital. Let me tell you about who I saw. Preacher, I was thinking about so-and-so, and I called him up, and I went by and saw. I mean, he gets out and drives.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be driving. And I told him, I said, Brother David, I said, I'll come get you, and we'll go make visits. Well, I don't like to bother anybody. I don't want to.
Yeah.
And but he's doing this, and he told me yesterday, he said, I think a lot of it is because I'm looking back, and I'm seeing all the things that I didn't do and all the opportunities I let miss. And he said, I'm making sure now, with what time I've got left, they're not going to be missed.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And but it does, our witness and our walk. Ephesians 5:15 tells us that we are to walk circumspectly.
Yes, sir.
That's an interesting word.
Yeah.
Circumspectly. It means the word itself means diligently, perfectly.
Yes.
Now, not perfectly in the sense of sinless.
Right.
No, no. But it means that perfect there means to be complete or mature.
Right.
We're to walk as complete as we can before the Lord and before others.
Right.
Walk circumspectly. Ephesians 4:17 tells us that we ought not walk henceforth as the Gentiles walked in the vanity of their mind.
Right.
We're not supposed to walk like the world, are we?
Right.
We're not supposed to walk like the world. We're supposed to be different.
Right.
Hey, listen, I tell you what I believe. I believe that when a person is born again, by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God, I believe it changes him.
Yes. Yes.
We don't hear about that much. I mean, listen, there's a salvation now being peddled that you can have and never be changed. I don't know how many people I work with and how many I meet day to day that'll tell me, they'll profess to be a Christian. I go to so-and-so's church, but you'd never ever know it. There's no change at all. They've not changed a thing. Listen, I believe that when you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to change you from the inside out. Sin, our walk and our witness. I want to be that godly influence.
Amen.
You know what else? See, these things go hand in hand. If you don't have the right walk, you'll never have the right witness.
Right.
You can't say one thing and do another.
Right.
And I've noticed just a little bit. I work with quite a few guys. I work in the water district, so I know what you're talking about, Brother Gene. They took $50 off. Hey, somebody has a leak, and we go out and that meter's turning like that, we're smiling. Money, money, money coming in. Money coming in. Money. No. And listen, we had this freeze, you know, back at Christmas.
Yeah.
And we had people calling left and right. What in the world did y'all shut off? Well, you shut nothing off. Well, y'all done something. I said, no. I said, I'm afraid you've got your water frozen. So, and we had numerous people's water freeze, but then it decided, well, let's just go to the 60s.
Yeah.
Got to the 60s, and now everybody's lines are busted.
Yep.
And they're calling saying, hey, could you come turn my meter off?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, it'll take me a little while, but I'll get out there. But we sit down and joke about it, and we talk about it. Should we go turn that one off or not, or just let it run? Our boss says, well, do you know if it's flooding the house? Is it damaging anything? Well, no, it's just running out on the ground. Well, we'll get out there sometime. Yeah. No. But anyway. Oh. But these guys I work with at the water district, I work inside. I help treat the water, and I've got four other guys. I've got a manager and three other operators that work with me. Then I've got five guys that work outside, and they come in and out all the time. They do all the work outside. And every one of them, you know, their conversation's not very nice.
Yeah.
To put it mildly.
Yeah.
And I've told some people here recently that my boss, when he gets really, really mad, and I don't say this to be ugly towards him or to demean him, but when he gets really, really mad, every now and then he'll take the Lord's name in vain. He'll swear. He'll use the, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what he does? We'll be in there talking. He'll get mad and he'll do that. And he'll catch himself immediately and he'll turn around and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, at least I'm having some influence on
him. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. At least he will tell me he's sorry. He shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have talked like that.
Right.
I said, no. I said, you don't talk like that in church, do you? I hope not.
Right.
And he said, no, 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 I don't. I said, okay. But... All right, our walk and our witness. We could stay here for a while, but I thought about this. You know what else? It'll hinder our worship.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you've got something between, if there's something there that's between you and the Savior, it's hard to worship Him, isn't
yes,
it?
Sir. Amen.
I know what I'm talking about. It's hard to worship Him.
Yep.
Till you get that thing right.
Yes, sir.
I remember this. Brother Beverly will remember this. When we were still going to church there before I started pastoring this last church, one Wednesday night, we got there, and of course, I'd been troubled all week, and just been out of sorts all week, and got to church that Wednesday night. We got in our pew. We have our pew we sit in all the time.
Yeah.
Fourth from the front, we got there, and we sit down, and the Lord just really been dealing with me. By the time they got to singing the very first song,
yes.
I could not. The Lord just got a hold of me. The next thing you know, I was up and I was down at an altar.
Amen.
Asking Brother Beverly to pray with me.
Amen.
I said, Brother Beverly, I'm not right with the Lord.
Yeah.
I got some things I need to get right.
Amen.
And you know what happened after that? I got up. I was able to go back and I was able to sing.
Right.
Oh,
amen.
You're talking about singing.
Yep. Right.
You're talking about rejoicing.
Amen.
Oh my goodness.
Amen.
You know what? It's that thing. You know that everything's right.
Amen.
Between you and your Savior. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like it. Hey, in that moment, listen, I know we all get sideways and we all get off track and we all have some things. But listen, when we get our hearts right, oh, there's nothing like it.
That's right.
Boy, I tell you, you're talking about unbroken fellowship. You're talking about being able to worship Him.
Amen.
Hey, as Jesus said, in spirit and in truth.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know what? I thought about this. Matthew 15, 8 and 9 tells us there. Jesus speaking to those Pharisees said that, they honor me with their lips.
Yeah.
He said, but they worship me in vain.
Yeah.
He said, oh, they honor me with their lips. But what did he say? Their heart is far from me.
Right. Right.
I thought about that. That's a heart who's full of self and sin.
Yeah.
Remember what the Pharisee said when he stood next to the publican? God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are.
Yeah.
I thank you that I tithe and I pray and I fast and I do this and I do that. Oh, he was so puffed up. He was so full of himself. You know what that is? That's nothing more than just a pretense of worship. That's just a pretense. Playing games.
Right.
But you take that and flip it over and go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10. And what do you find there? You find that there's some beasts there. You find there's 24 elders.
Yep.
And what did it say? They were down on their faces encircling the throne and him that sat on the throne. And they are worshiping him day and night.
Amen. Amen.
I want to tell you, listen, the closer you get to the Lord, hey, the more you're going to worship him.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, listen, hey, that's that unbroken fellowship.
Right.
There they are gathered. I mean, they're right up there with you.
Right.
And the Bible said that in the midst of that, they took their crowns off and laid them in his feet.
Amen. Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Took his crowns off.
Amen.
I believe I've got a few crowns. I know I've got the crown of life.
Yeah.
That may be the only crown I wind up with, the crown of life, but I tell you what I'll get to do one day. Get to stand before him.
Amen.
I don't believe I'll stand. I think I'll fall flat on
your
head.
Yes, sir.
And I'll be able to take that crown and I'll be able to honor and lay it in.
Amen.
And I'll be able to praise him through the ceaseless ages. I tell you, that's a
yes.
But I want to tell you, listen, they worshiped him. Amen. That's a heart that draws near to God with the right kind of worship. Oh, that worship. You know what? But I believe we can have it today.
Amen.
We can have that kind of worship.
Yes.
Today. We don't have to wait for heaven. Let's draw near. You know what else it hinders? It hinders our prayers.
Oh, yeah.
Let me keep up with the time here. It hinders our prayers. Psalm 66, 18. The psalmist again would write there and say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me.
Yeah.
Yes. I tell you what. It's hard to pray when there's something there, isn't it?
Right.
You ever been there?
Yes, sir.
It's hard to pray. It's a struggle.
Amen.
Often, you know what people say often? I don't know where the Lord went.
Yeah.
I can't find him.
Yeah.
My answer is he ain't gone nowhere.
Right.
Where have you went?
Yeah.
The Lord ain't went nowhere. He's where he's always been.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what he'll do though. When there is sin and there's something there that stands between us, that puts a wall up between us, and that fellowship strained and that fellowship is broken, I'm glad that, yes, our fellowship can be broken, but I'm glad that I could never lose my salvation.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I'm joined to him. I'm in him. And I tell you what, that's forever.
Amen.
But our prayers, here's the thing. We know when it is and when we struggle praying.
Yeah.
But here's what he'll do. He'll withdraw his presence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tell you what, he's done it. He's done it.
Yes, he has.
He's done it. I remember first church I pastored, a little church there in Cadiz, and we had some trouble. Some things went on. I won't get into all that, but just to say that they were, well, they were after me hard, and they didn't like some things I was preaching. They didn't like some things I was doing, and they didn't want nothing to change. You know, they wanted everything to stay. You know, they'd had one pastor for 40 years, and they didn't want no change. But what I'm going to say is, mother and her daughter, as I walked out one Sunday, out onto the front porch of the church there, they come out and they lit into me. And boy, they were letting me have it. There were some people honestly standing over there in their car saying, let him have it. Keep let. Go on. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give him all of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, I got in the flesh. I ain't proud of it. I got in the flesh and boy, I mean, I lit into them. And I did. And about 2 days later, I was in my prayer closet, and I couldn't get nowhere. And the Lord said, if you'll get that thing right, yeah, we'll talk. Yeah. And I did.
Amen.
God broke my heart.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have acted like that. His son, there's this lady's son, as a result of that, in a business meeting, told me if I ever talked to his mother like that again, I wouldn't do it no more. He'd make sure of that. He said, I might not be able to talk anymore. He said, I'll shut you up. And he said, I could hear you all the way inside the church with the door shut. I said, I know, and I'm not proud of that. I apologize for that. But I'll never forget. I got that thing settled. Man, all of a sudden, me and the Lord began to talk. And I had such sweet fellowship with him there.
Thank you, Lord.
I got up. My dad was living across the street. We were living on his property, and he lived across the street, and I couldn't wait. I darted over there to my dad because my dad was members there then. He was members of the church, him and my mom were. And I darted over there, and I said, Daddy! I said, I got something right with the Lord.
Amen.
I told him what happened. I said, boy, I tell you, I said, now I had to get that thing right. He said, it happened, son.
Yep.
It happens.
Yep.
I tell you what, my prayers, oh man, our prayers. I'll tell you something else that will hinder us is doubt. I got to hurry up. I got to hurry up here. Doubt. I thought about this doubt. Listen, we don't often think much about doubt. But you take Matthew 14:31. Let me turn over there real quick. I'll share just a thing or two here and I'll be done. I'll wrap this up. Matthew 14:31. You remember this? We're all familiar with this. This is where Peter, the Lord comes in the midst of this storm, and the Lord comes walking on the water.
Yeah.
And Peter being Peter, mm-hmm, Peter said, Lord, in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come onto the water. He said, Lord, if this is you, he said, let me come out on the water. Let me walk on the water. And Jesus said, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Well, he was in the safety of that boat when he said it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He had his feet firmly planted on something solid underneath him. And boy, he took that, I believe, he took that first step. He went like that and stuck that leg out there. And he stuck the other one. The Bible said he began to walk.
Right.
He was actually for just a few seconds there. He was walking on water. But what did he tell us? He took his eyes off of Jesus and he saw that storm.
Right.
And immediately, man, he began to drown. And here's what Jesus said to him. In verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him, saved him from drowning, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
Yeah.
Doubt. Boy, doubt, you know what? I think it's Romans 14:23 that tells us that doubt is actually sin. But here's what happens. Sometimes we'll doubt some things. We may not mean to, but we will. All of us. Preachers and pastors, evangelists, church people, Christians. We all will. You know, have you ever been guilty? Have you ever doubted His Word? Ever doubted his word? I had never even thought about this, but in Matthew 11, it tells us this. I'll show you something here. Matthew 11 tells us this, 23. Mark 11, I'm sorry. I had Mark down there. Mark chapter 11, I'll show you this. Mark 11 and verse 23. Here's verse 22, and Jesus answering, there in verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith. Verse 23, here's what he says will result from that faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Notice the next thing. And shall not doubt in his heart. But shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. That, right there, that's God's word, isn't it? And he said, if you doubt not, but you believe, you have faith, you could say to this mountain.
Yep. Amen.
Isaiah 55:11 says, my word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I purpose for it to. So my word will not. So, but we do. We find ourselves. I wonder how many doubted that right there. I wonder how many thought to themselves, you mean to tell me I could actually make mountains move and be cast into the sea? That's what he said.
Right. Amen.
But boy, we have that tendency to doubt. Our faith gets weak. Oh, thou little faith. We doubt his word. But this was the word of God. This was as much the word of God as John 3:16.
Right.
But we do. We have tendencies because we wonder, you know, will the Lord do what he said? Is those promises that he made, will he keep those promises?
Right. Yes, he will.
And I tell you when we say them, I tell you when we usually say that, that's when we're going through the hardest thing that we've gone through.
Right.
When we're going through the heat of the battle.
Right.
When everything's on the line and we need the Lord to show up and do something.
Yep.
And he hasn't showed up when we thought he ought to show up.
Right.
I like that, Brother Gene. He don't have to consult us.
Amen.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to let us in on it.
Yeah. Amen.
Somebody said, you know, you might think it'd be all right to know what day it is you're going to die, for the Lord to tell you, say March 7th, 2030, you're going to die. But he said, no. If you really think about it, who would want to know that?
Right.
Who would want to know that? Would you stop living? Would you still live your life? Would you still go on and live? And no, you know what I think you try to do? What we try to do is we try to be careful with everything because we'd be afraid that we might cut our life short. Mm-hmm. We might be afraid we'd do something and we wouldn't even live that long. What I'm saying is we don't always know what God's doing and what he's up to, but we don't have to. We just got to trust him.
Amen.
We don't have to know all the... We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have all the details. If we'll just trust him and his word that never fails.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's the hard thing to do. When we're out there in the heat of it and everything's closing in on us, just like the young man said, when they were at the Red Sea and everything was closing in on them, all God asked of them was, just trust me. Just trust me. You know what? We doubt his word. Sometimes we doubt his will. I thought about this. Peter said, it said in Acts 10 verse 9, the Lord's getting Peter ready to go down to the house of Cornelius, and I'm trying to preach fast. He was preparing him to go down. He was up on the roof and he began to pray. He fell in a trance and he became hungry. The Lord was getting ready to show him something.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that he was in that trance and he had a vision and said, this thing come down and said it was like a sheep. Mm-hmm. Four corners. And he let the thing down. And there was there was unclean animals on each corner. Or what the law said was unclean. And what did the Lord say to Peter? He said, rise, kill, and eat.
Right.
And what was Peter's response? No, Lord. No.
But it was God's will that he eat that. And he said, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And he said, why callest thou unclean that I call clean? And the Bible said that that sheep had to be let down how many times? Three times.
That's right.
Three times. In other words, he had to let it down and say, rise, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord. Let it down again. Rise, kill, eat. No, Lord. That third time. And I think he was starting to get the message like, I don't think the Lord's going to quit till I eat. And he did. All. But here's the thing about it. He didn't know what God was doing.
Right.
He didn't know God was preparing him. And there were some men already on the way down there to say, hey. Our leader down here, Cornelius, he's asked for you to come. He wants to talk to you.
Right.
And if he hadn't have done that, Peter would have never went down there.
Yep. Right.
Peter said, no. Now, them Gentiles ain't worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're only supposed to go. Remember what Jesus said? Only the lost sheep of the house of Israel,
right.
Not Gentiles.
Yep. Right.
But God was preparing him. Although he didn't know those people were coming. He didn't know those men were coming. Right. And he didn't know that an angel had already... that the Lord had already spoke to Cornelius and said, go fetch Peter.
Right.
Peter didn't know all this, but God was getting him ready. And he kept saying no. And the Lord said, rise and eat. And he did, not knowing all what was about to happen and the great thing that was happening. Because he come down there and then you go on further and read. And when he went back and testified and said, hey, these Gentiles have believed on the Lord. And it said they rejoiced that God had granted unto them repentance.
Amen.
Just like the Jews.
Yep. Amen.
Oh man, his will. How many times does the Lord have to tell us, rise, kill, and eat?
Yep.
And we keep saying no. You know what? The Bible reminds us that his will is always best.
Yes.
But we doubt his ways as well. I thought about this, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. The problem we have in that verse, the real problem we have in that verse is the all things.
Right.
We don't mind the good things that mm-hmm. work together for our good, but it's those all things that we don't
right.
like.
Right.
But we've got that promise that they do. His ways. Isaiah 55:8-9 tells us, there the Lord would say, through Isaiah the Lord would say, my ways are not your ways.
Right.
My thoughts are not your
yeah.
thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways. We may not, as I said, we may not understand his ways. We may not understand his will. He just asked us to do it. I'll leave you with this. I lost my dad. I didn't lose him. I know where he's at.
Amen.
And some of you in here knew him. Some of you knew him real well. He passed in 2019. September of 2019. And I miss him every day. He was the first person I usually went to when I was needing some advice, needing some biblical help. I'd call my dad up and we'd talk. But my dad told me I was just a boy. And Earl, you and Gina remember this. He told me, and I'm thankful for all this. He would tell me all this stuff. And I've got it all now as memory.
Yeah.
But he said, one day, he said, I didn't understand why. He said, the Lord told me, I want you to start driving up 60 Highway towards Owensboro. He said, okay. Got in the car. He said I was with them, but I don't remember the trip. I guess I was too little to remember. But me and my mom and dad, we got in the car, and he just started driving. And he went through this little town. And he got all the way to the end of 60 there, a little place called Cloverport. And the Lord said, right here. I want you to stop right here. And he said, I was passing by and there was a building there and there was a sign out in the front for lease. And he said it was pouring down rain. He said, it was raining so hard I couldn't read the phone number. But he said, I jumped out of the car with a pen and paper, wrote it down, drove back home, called the man, said, hey, you still got that building for lease? Told him what he wanted to do with it. He said, would you lease it to me? And he said, yeah. He said, just don't tell nobody I leased it to you. He said, I don't want nobody to find out. He said, nobody will do business with me anymore. But anyway, long story short. So
he didn't understand, but he drove, and the Lord showed him something. And they went up there, men went up there, and they fixed the building up, started holding services there on Friday and Saturday nights. People were saved. They went out and they started knocking doors. They met up there and they knocked doors. And they ran across the lady there sitting on the front porch, an old elderly lady. And she is sitting there, and my dad went up and introduced himself. And she was blind. She couldn't see. Told him who she was. Said, "We're here. So we've got this building rented over here, and we're going to start holding gospel services over here. We want to come up here and preach." And said, immediately tears fell down her eyes. And she said, "Brother Downs, you don't know how long I've prayed for this.
Amen.
How long I've been praying.
Yeah.
That somebody would come and preach the gospel in my city." Yeah. He said, "We got some churches here," but he said, "They're too interested in playing instead of preaching."
Right.
He said, "Boy, she said, "Oh, that's music to my ears."
Amen.
See there how God works?
Yes.
Amen.
His ways are higher than our ways,
amen,
aren't they?
Yes.
Oh, yes, they are. Amen. All right, Brother Shepherd.
Amen.